Welcome to the Divorce Podcast, a podcast that aims to address divorce, separation and co-parenting here in the UK, countering the often sensationalist way it's portrayed in the media, challenging the status quo and driving for reform. On each episode, I'm joined by experts to discuss divorce, separation and co-parenting from different angles and to give their opinions and to debate them. I'm Kate Daly, a relationship counsellor and divorce coach, co-founder of Amicable, the divorce services company, and host of this, the Divorce Podcast. In this episode, I was joined by Siobhan Bailey, Conservative MP for Stroud, to discuss family policy reform and its impact on people separating and divorcing. Prior to becoming a Member of Parliament, Siobhan worked at One Plus One, the relationship charity, as head of policy and communications. She stood down in 2018 to dedicate her career to parliamentary politics. Since her election in 2019, Siobhan has been appointed to the Work and Pension Select Committee and has served as co-chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Group for Relationships. We begin this episode by looking at Siobhan's lived experience of divorce, that of her own parents' separation, and how this sparked her passion for policy reform, particularly around children proceedings and her work with the Positive Parenting Alliance. We explore the changes that the introduction of no-fault divorce has meant for separating couples and what needs to change in the future so that children are less impacted by their parents' separation. It was an honour speaking with Siobhan and I look forward to future reforms in this space. If you really loved this episode or want to hear more episodes like this, then please make sure to rate us on your preferred listening platform. Enjoy the episode. Welcome, Siobhan.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I can tell my team wrote that nicely for me.
You have a very diverse career and it's lovely that you're here today to talk about divorce, separation and co-parenting. Obviously, you have a background in law, as we mentioned in our introduction, but tell me about your interest in divorce.
Well, no, absolutely. I think professional interest is one thing, but I have a sort of personal experience of it. My parents were separated. I was about eight and we lived with my mum, but spent time with my dad. And thinking back, although I was a kiddie and didn't really understand, I now know that quite a lot of the pressures of the new child maintenance payments as they were then put a massive pressure on my dad, and a lot of the policy problems with that area often led to him not being able to travel up to Yorkshire to visit us. So I think the impact of decision around divorce policy affected me even as a youngster, and I don't think it directly led to me doing what I'm doing now or my previous career as a solicitor, but I've definitely experienced it firsthand what happens when your parents separated. I mean, one of the things I used to tell my clients was my dad, when he was telling the three of us, as I've got two siblings, that he was going to be separating from my mum. He wasn't going to come home to live with us anymore. He took us to a toy shop in York, and it was obviously a massive moment for him, and it was very upsetting for him that he said to us, "Yeah, I'm not going to come home," and sort of went through all the painful bit. And then the key thing he said to us was, "And you can have any toy in the shop." And we were like, "Yeah!" So for me, that day was actually a really happy day. I got My Little Pony dance studio, I think, if I remember. My brother got Stretch Armstrong. But so that was a happy day. My dad, when we talk about that now, it was devastating for him. And I've always told that story because of, we've got to be kind of constantly thinking about things from the perspective of the child. And you just don't always know how something's affecting an adult is also going to affect the child. So, so that's my kind of personal experiences for them.
I think it's really lovely and heartening to hear, you know, somebody who is part and parcel of select committees that make decisions about policy, bringing that personal experience to the table. I don't know how other people listening will feel, but for me, it just makes me feel that at least there are people making decisions that do have experience. It's so important, as you say, to keep in mind how children see this rather than it feeling like something that's being done to a child that they have no control over. So, you know, it's great to hear about your background. When you worked as a solicitor, were you working in family law?
Yeah, so I was trying to work this out earlier. I think I did about 17 years in law in total, and about 15 of those would have been in the family law. I had my own caseload for quite an early stage because I did a lot of legal aid work with it was a small high street firm. Auction. I did a lot of legal aid work and then progressed into private law, children and finances, and quite a bit of domestic violence work as well. So I really have spent many, many years in parents' lives and people's lives who are going through separation. And I think, you know, you mentioned about bringing that experience to Parliament. It is absolutely key when we are making decisions is to draw on our own personal experiences, but also to draw on the experiences of our constituents. So for, as an MP, I have quite a lot of constituents come to me with really poor experiences of the family court system, or where there's been something very dramatic has happened, as you will know as a practitioner, where a child has been abducted by another parent or a court order has been breached and there's some sort of very serious situation. So it's coming across us as MPs in our post bags quite a lot as well, which is why I'm trying to make some changes in Parliament and bring this issue up to the forefront, because unfortunately it's just not raised very often as far as I can see through Hansard.
So Siobhan, we met at a meeting of what's called the Family Solutions Group. Tell me a little bit about them and your involvement.
Yeah, it was a great session, actually. It was good to see you there. So the Family Law Solutions Group, they're basically a multidisciplinary group that was set up by Mr. Justice Cobb, which are a subgroup to the Private Law Working Group, which, again, is looking at reform. So that they're really, the FSG are really focused on what's needed within existing legislation to improve things for families, but particularly focused on children. Their first report was called What About Me? So, and very much focused on the child's experience and the impact of the court's processes on the children. And their most recent report is all about language. So you and I agree on this, okay, that we are often found screaming at EastEnders and Coronation Street when they're going on about custody of the Mitchells' children or whatever's going on, and access rights, because I mean that went out with the Children Act in 1989, and we haven't managed to improve the media's use of the new terminology of residence and contact. And fast forward up to date, you know, even for counsel and lawyers like ourselves, we still refer to our opponents. Cases are still Smith versus Smith, so it's still immediately adversarial for these. And so I'm working with the FSG to try and raise the issue in Parliament. Sadly, what I've found is that not a lot of MPs talk about this, despite what I was saying earlier about it coming across our desks a lot for constituents. It is still raised. You know, you have to understand, for MPs, we get 100 different subjects to sort of put and deal with. So it's not because people don't care, it's just not being pushed. So I've been trying to push through a number of the reforms and raise the profile of a number of the reforms that the FSG and also the Private Law Working Group would like to see. And we've got a fantastic...
Let's talk a little bit about those reforms then, because I think they're really important, aren't they? Because you're right, we seem to be stuck with an adversarial legal system, which is obviously the envy of the world. But when it comes to working with families, the adversarial judicial system just doesn't feel like the right approach. So what sort of reforms are you and Parliament and the group looking at that might help put family solutions rather than this notion of justice at the heart of divorce and separation and helping parents move on with their lives?
Yeah. So One of the key reforms is actually changing language and getting the whole of the legal and court sector to change language. And I urge everybody to look at the report. Many family lawyers are already using sort of conciliatory language, and the no-fault divorce changes have helped a lot. So that's a good stage. The other thing I was talking to the previous Lord Chancellor about, and will take up again with the new Lord Chancellor, is what we were calling demand reduction. So my view is that a good third of the cases that I was seeing, and I think Sir Andrew McFarlane puts it at about 20% of cases, particularly with children, do not need to be anywhere near a court. So how do we keep them out of a court, but while still helping the parents together? So a demand reduction approach. We were discussing with the ministers and the MOJ about whether we could incentivize behavior through fees and costs. So potentially getting your fees back if you don't use the court process. So even if you make the court application, but you manage to ahead. I'd like to see the SIPS program, the Separated Parenting Information Program, available without making a court application, because, you know, once the application's made, kind of the lines in the sand are drawn. We want to make sure that there's communications with parents earlier in the process, and that they know that there is an amicable option, and that court is not the only way, because many parents will sort of, you know, I'll see you in court after a big row, when actually, if they did something like the SPIPS program, or they had a mediation session, or they spoke to, you know, a family lawyer like yourself, then actually you will be in a better position to reach an agreement with the other parent, which, as we all know, will last longer. So that's where I'd got to prior to the most recent change of government, and that's what I'll be picking up again with this new parliamentary session.
I think one of the issues you touch on is, at the moment, we only seem to have a kind of triaging system once you've made an application to court. So one of the things that we're particularly keen on at Amicable is trying to get a triaging system that works before anyone's made an application to court. So looking at them, there's a similar model to what they have in Australia, where there's an independent family solutions centre set up where people can go to get, you know, information, legal information and help on choosing the right process for them. And the family solution centres aren't, they're not lawyers, they're not mediators, they're not anyone who provides the service, but they're a separate, neutral, independent group who can then effectively triage people into the right kind of processes so that they know what their options are before they start. And that's not predicated on having made an application to court, as you say, in the heat of the moment after a big row or whatever. So that's certainly something we think is important. And it sounds like that sort of approach might be something that Family Solutions Group or the parliamentary committees might be interested in hearing more about.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic that you look around the world, and it is really important, particularly to the Antipodean countries who have got some very interesting practice. I think two points that I'd like to raise to the issues you've just raised. The first is about tech. So we know that parents and couples who are going through a separation will often Google and try and get advice from the internet. We all would wish that isn't the first port of call, but that's the reality of it. We also know that if somebody thinking about going through a divorce, they'll look at government websites, and we've obviously got online applications now. I do not think it's beyond the wit of man to ensure that there are points of information that are pop-ups or things, particularly as you're going through court applications, that are able to sort of highlight to parents in particular that there are things like the separation courses, there are things like mediation, that there is another way. They don't have to immediately rush to, in my day, C100 application. It doesn't have to be. So we've got the tech. You could use algorithms. You could use the systems that are already there. give parents the opportunity to see what else is available. And the second interesting development is that the government is really investing in something called family hubs. So these will be around the country, and they are designed to support families from before birth up to teenage years. You know, this is with the age of their children, but also they can and should be used to help families that are going through separation. So a little bit like a family solutions hub, these sort of new fangled centres should be exactly the place that we want parents to go to for more information. So there's been a fantastic piece of work done with Dame Andrea Leadsom about the best start for life. And we all know and believe that early intervention and looking after children in the early years is the route to success for that child, but also for family life. So getting in early and finding those touch points, whether it's midwives, whether it's health visitors, whether it's when you register your child's birth, and giving parents information is all doable. I think we've just got to pull the strands together. So I'm always hopeful. This stuff has to be dealt with because it's been put in the too difficult box for too long. But I'm quite hopeful.
Well, I think we know that this is a very expensive thing to get wrong, don't we? The cost of divorce and separation and co-parenting going wrong to this country is over £51 billion a year. According to the relationships report. And that's bigger than the defence budget. So it's in everybody's interests to try and get this right and into better shape. It's very interesting what you say about the family hubs. Is that not the same as the Sure Start programme that was removed?
So
or is it something different?
Sure Start
it sounds quite
was not
similar.
Removed. Yeah, what the government did was sort of, I think the funding for Sure Start centres were not ring-fenced. And then when lots of local authorities were making cutbacks over the years, some children's centres, I mean, there are many, many pros for Sure Start centres and children's centres. But what we found when we look at the policy and what the actual outcomes of them, it was often the same families that they saw time and again, which obviously really helped those families, but the outreach wasn't there. So the belief in family hubs, it's worth getting someone like Samantha Callum onto your podcast if you haven't already, who is the absolute ambassador and the brainchild behind family hubs. The idea is that these are sort of very simple places that families, mums and dads, so not just mums, can go for any need. And children can also go, and it's not just about children in the early years, it's going right the way through to teenagers. As I said, it's about the parents as well, because historically some policy has all been focused on children or it's been focused on parenting and never do those meet. So now we've got to bring that all together. I think they are very local authorities are really keen on these, and in Gloucestershire, we didn't get any central funding, but the local authority are still making efforts to sort of create family hubs anyway, because they can see that they're just a really positive programme.
Yeah, it sounds like a really sensible approach, and that could be the place where the first information is held for people going through relationship difficulty, whether that's signposting to counselling or ultimately helping them make good choices if they are going to separate or divorce. So I'm really interested to find out more about those. Thank you. The other point you mentioned was this idea of how tech can help. And one of the things that Amicable we've been doing is working with the MOJ and HMCTS on the wording on the government website. So they spent a lot of time and money and effort, obviously bringing the digitization of the divorce process to life. And then they've integrated the new no-fault system. But that left a gap with how they were talking to people about sorting out children and finances. And so we've been working with them on the language and how you're able to offer different alternatives to people within the gov.uk website, so that it's not just a case of you go to court or you're in agreement, which is how the site reads at the moment. You're either in agreement or you're going to court. There isn't anything in between those two polar extremes. So we've helped them build in some of that language and signpost to some alternatives, which I think you and I both agree, it's the language, it's the way you present options to people that will make a difference and will change behaviour ultimately.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think back to my clients and I think about my friends that have been through separation. When there is an acknowledgement that a relationship has broken down, there's a range of reasons for that. It's not always daggers at dawn. It's not always an explosive of an affair. It can be for far more mundane and sad reasons. And most parents, even if there has been a dramatic incident, do not want to damage their children in the process of separating. But it quite quickly becomes that they go into a defensive crouch, each of them protecting their own positions, and the children get caught in the middle. So how do we get to those parents when those early conversations are happening and it's always, well, we don't want to go and look after the children, you'll always see them, and that happens so often, you know, I'll make sure you'll never miss out on the children, etc., etc., and then a few months later it's completely changed. So how do we get in earlier? And I think language, all systems pointing to there is a range of options that can suit any family, and these parents are terrified. It's an upsetting situation. It's emotional. None of us are rational when you're going through an emotional situation. So it's difficult to make decisions. But if we can all work together in, you know, as lawyers and government and local authorities and family hubs and all the brilliant tech that can be used for good and social media to show that there is an alternative way, I fundamentally believe that we can get that 20 to 30% of parents and couples out of court. And you were mentioning about the cost to the state and the taxpayer. If we get these policies wrong, and I think we have been over decades, so governments of all different political persuasions have got this wrong. The sadness is, if we get it right, there's no immediate thing to stick on a pamphlet or a leaflet. You may never know that we've stopped a family going to court through good practice and good policy. So you don't get to tick a box and have a metric or a measurable outcome. But over a period of time, and if we can have some long sight into this, over a period of time, society will be much better off. Children will have had a better experience when they're younger. And growing up into adulthood, they'll have improved relationships themselves and the whole cycle changes. So we have to get this right. We have to, and if nothing else, we have to try. And I think a lot of people are trying and doing brilliant things in their own way in this family law world, but actually that working together and also getting government on board is actually key in my view now.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting point, isn't it? Because there's a moral imperative to do this. The mission of Amicable is to change the way the world divorces, and we are set up to help people end relationships in a kinder and better way. But you're right, we can measure that in terms of the uptake and people coming to a couple's service and coming to work together and getting good outcomes for their children and so on and so forth. We can measure that in our growth. But there's a moral imperative, as you say, that as a society, it is just the right thing to do. And that's hard for governments to take up sometimes because they're measured on short-term things. They've got to win an election, they've got to do whatever. But it's so important that we stop thinking of divorce as in the terms of battles and fights and courts and justice and shift that narrative to a much kinder way of describing things. And we know, don't we, if people live longer, the chances of having one sole relationship is going to be less. And therefore we have to, as a society, be more adept at transitioning between relationships and making sure we don't damage children in the process so that they grow up and repeat patterns and behaviours that just aren't helpful. And we're part of a group, and I think you probably know the group, the Positive Parenting Alliance. And their idea is to get parents, before any relationship is in trouble, effectively to sign a pledge, the parents promise, to their children in terms of how they'll behave if the relationship breaks down and how they will continue to be great parents. And I wonder if that idea of intervention before it's broken is actually what you're advocating and what you think government could perhaps do differently.
Yeah, I know James and Parent Promise and speaks passionately about this, and I think it is great because you kind of thinking early on when the sun is shining rather than when things are going wrong in a relationship. So I think all of those initiatives need to be bigged up by all of us, and you know, your work, James's work. Yeah, I went to work for a fantastic charity called One Plus One when I was transitioning from law into policy and politics, and they're relationship specialists and they're scientists, and there is 40 years worth of evidence to show why it is important to focus on positive relationships for adults but also for children. So it's not that the evidence isn't there, but I think you're right about that measurability and getting governments to think longer term. And I'm hoping that things like the family hubs will be such a positive thing that in the event of a change of government, I don't want change of government soon, but in the event of change of government in 10 years' time, that they will be so ingrained into the communities that they may change names. You know, they may, you know, another party may want a different branding, but the work that's been done in there is a positive, and it's this where people know is a good source of help. So, I'm not down and out on this. I'm annoyed because I think it's daft that we're not focusing.
Me too.
280,000 children, we think, the FSG, they go through divorce and separation every year. That is a lot of children. That's a lot of children where they are often caught, not always, but often caught in the middle through no fault of the parents, and then often presenting at school with mental health concerns or anxiety, then on to, you know, teenager, and they're in their exams and they're struggling because home life is not great. And I've always said to the mental health teams, as you can pour as much money as you want into school mental health services, but if these kids are going home to chaos, or, you know, aggravation or even simmering silence, that the good work in schools is going to be undone. So let's get right back to basics. You know, what is best for these children? Let's try and, you know, protect the relationships that can be saved, and where relationships do break down, let's make it all about the children and supporting and protecting them.
I mean, I think most of us would agree, wouldn't we? It has to be a holistic approach. What do you think has to change in the way that government deals with these issues in order to get some of these changes through? Should Family Solutions sit within the MOJ, or should there be a different structure, a different governmental structure, if we want to make these changes?
One of the biggest problems is it sits across a number of different departments. So you've got, it naturally is in covered by the Ministry of Justice, and I think that's right. It's a fundamental arm of the law, and that's where the main budget is. But then the Department for Work and Pensions have what we call the relationships brief. So they do, through local authorities, quite a lot of work supporting particularly vulnerable parents and parents that are out of work. Then the Department for Education also has the mental health briefs and the children briefs. So it sits there as well. And then obviously the Treasury gets involved. So getting someone to own this and think it through is quite difficult in government. You know, do you have a children's minister, but sort of making all the budgets are running at different rates and sort of different way. So family hubs sit in Department for Education, as far as I'm aware, unless that's changed. So we've got, I think for me, they're the kind of the new approach to potentially getting the sort of services for separating the couples into communities that haven't had them before. So I think there should be a lot of focus on that. But you will know that getting government departments to work together is quite tough. However, under the previous under Boris, we had got a few of the Secretary of States and the departments I just mentioned were working together to try and make some changes, and that was very positive. So I'm hopeful that that can be replicated with the new government.
And you know, there's often calls, isn't there, when any issue is being sort of underplayed, if you like, for a minister of. Do you think we should have a minister for divorce and separation or something similar?
I've been told that there's very few people who want to be the Minister of Divorce or Death, and both sits with the MOJ because it's just they are really difficult, thorny issues, and obviously not sexy. So I'm never sure that you need a brand new minister, and I definitely don't want any more bureaucracy added to this. I think you just need someone to accept at a senior level who reports into government, into the cabinet, or is sitting in the cabinet, that this is just very, very serious. Let's get all these government departments working together. Oh, I mean, I forget, it's also in the housing department, because you have an element of the work looking after households as well. So, yeah, so actually I think we just need the will to be in cabinet. And it has been there, but getting the joined up work afterwards somebody like Andrea Leadsom, who is not a member of the government, as far as I'm aware, she hasn't got a job this time around, she is just steeped in this, and she absolutely passionately believes in the early years, and she really gets the importance of focusing on families. You know, she is a real champion. There's lots of people that are arguing and championing this work, and I just would like to see it at cabinet level as well.
Mm, that's really interesting. It's been fascinating talking to you, Siobhan, about the policy reform agenda and how government approaches this issue. Just if we could finish on perhaps some, you know, advice to individuals. You know, we can try and we can reform and we can campaign for reform, and I can feel a letter to Andrea Leadsom coming on as we speak. But I ultimately, all of us have to make changes in the way we talk about this, the way we think about this. If you've got a constituent who is going through this, what's your best advice to them at the point at which their relationship is breaking down and they've got children?
Yeah, my best advice is do your research. Look at the options that mean that you can have a working relationship. You don't even need to like each other, but a working relationship with the other parent and your ex to focus on the child, and do that work up front. Reach those agreements early, and then stick to them, because consistency and a good routine, you know, sort of is good for children. You know, look at people like Amicable, look at Resolution, Family Lawyers Group. Really work out what you want to achieve that also protects the child, and because it's all out there. It's just understanding if that's your goal, that is your focus. So, and I think what I would also say is that if you care about this, or you've had a bad, you know, your listeners have had a bad experience of the family law courts, that you get in touch with your MP and ask them to champion this work in Parliament, ask them to join debates, start debates, get in touch with me if they want to understand what they can do in Parliament as well, because I need, you know, you need bodies. If you've got lots of support in Parliament, then ministers start to take note even more. So I think if you care about this, then please do let your MP know.
That's brilliant. Thank you. And how can people get in touch with you, Siobhan?
Yeah, so I'm publicly available. You'll see there's my website, Siobhan Bailey, and then my parliamentary email address is available publicly as well. My team have to only focus on Stroud constituents, so that's why the request is to go to their own MP in the first instance. Very welcome to mention my name to individual MPs, and then they can get in touch with me. And that's cross-party as well. I work across all political parties on this issue.
That's brilliant. Thank you. And of course, you can find me in a variety of places. I'm on Twitter at Kate_Daily. You can hear about new podcast episodes by following at Divorce_podcast. And if you've enjoyed this episode and you want to hear more, then please subscribe for updates by visiting thedivorcepodcast.com. Siobhan, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you.